What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust some and everybody else in between. Along for the ride, the Wicked Wednesday continues, as does the National Basketball Association playoffs. The Milwaukee Bucks find themselves trailing one game to none after a shocking loss to the Orlando Magic. Can they bounce back in game two? The question is, can the Los Angeles Lakers bounce back in game two? The LA Clippers are finding out that Luka Doncic might be young, but he's also unfreaking stoppable. All right. And I don't think that's, I don't think we're overstating anything when we talk about just how good Luka Doncic is. And I'll tell you what, starting next year, and I'm a diehard Toronto Raptor fan, and I do believe that the Raptors are going to win the championship again. And I don't know, man. Like, you look at what's going on right now in the NBA, I think Milwaukee are vulnerable. They'll come back against Orlando, but I don't think Milwaukee have it going on right now. I don't know if the pandemic also hurt them, yet something's not right in the bubble with the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think the Raptors are going to win the East. And now the question is, who's going to come out of the West? It was almost a foregone conclusion that it was going to be one of the Los Angeles teams. I don't know. I'm not so sure. I legitimately believe that both the Lakers and Clippers both really could lose these series. I'm not just saying this for media purposes. I'm not saying it to have a hot take. I thought the Portland Trailblazers could win this series coming into the series, and I told you this. I didn't think the Mavericks were going to beat the Clippers, except the Clippers have chemistry issues. The Clippers have a very good roster, but they don't have players that have played together a lot in big games. They have a lot of players that haven't played in pressure situations, they have played in pressure situations, and they haven't played well. And even though Kawhi Leonard's putting up the stats, I don't know. Like, Boardman doesn't seem to be quite as tenacious as he has been in past years. We'll break it down with Paul Bovey. We'll take a look at the National Hockey League odds. We'll get into this Tom Brenneman stuff. Will Tom Brenneman ever work again? We asked you guys on Twitter who's the best NBA analyst on television. We'll run the gauntlet. We'll get you up to date as far as the poll. We'll share our opinion with this. We'll get Paul Bovey's take on this. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bet your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger. Just take it. Take the ball. That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Shout out to Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Bano, for joining us in level one. Same to my main man, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, including our new affiliate in San Diego and SoCal, Los Angeles, the Mightier 1090. What's up, SoCal? Great to be kicking it with you, and it's great to catch up with a man who I believe is on his way back after... I don't know, like, how long he's been gone for right now, and I'm not even sure. Is he coming back? But either way, he's back with us right now. Paul Bovey steps up and in and joins us. Paul, welcome back to the Rage, Sports Rage Late Night. How you doing, Paul?
Doing great, Gabe. Actually, I'm on my way back on Saturday, and I have to wear a face shield on top of a mask. So I'm not looking forward to this flight, Gabe. It's going to be a rough one. I got to stop in Japan, but I'll get back to Southern California. And I got to tell you, I probably won't recognize it because I actually got dropped off at LAX, believe it or not, February 29th. So I'm nearly on a six-month hiatus from the great state of California.
Wow. And I just got to give you props. You're joining us. You're in the Philippines right now, correct? You're like... So you're joining us from the Philippines.
I am.
Right now. And you sound better than people that join us like from New York, like that are like three blocks away. And like, I gotta tell you, Paul, ultra impressed. Great sound. And I know, listen, you've been in the Philippines, but it hasn't stopped you from absolutely killing the NBA. You've been tearing apart the NBA props. We've been identifying the prop market. I've been really doing well with the in-game live player props, in which, you know, they're posting over-unders for player points in-game. And we've been doing real well with that the last couple of days. But so what's been going on? What do you got been going on professionally you've been killing these props with?
Gabe, I don't know. I think you can identify trends that the books just don't catch up with. Like, I'm going to give you an example. LeBron James... They set him at 8.5 rebounds. He comes in with 17 in the first game. All right, so they bump him up one. Now, I had Jared Allen the other night. They set him at 25.5 points, rebounds, assists. They only moved it up one, and the guy absolutely exploded last game. As you know, you call it, was it last night? I call it today. But I think he was well into the 30s, if not 40. So sometimes these books just miss it. And when a player is removed, like Westbrook is out now, so there'll be the minutes will be dispersed in other places. And that's where you have to capture the value associated with these props.
So let me ask you about, let's start off with the first game, actually. So I talked about this and I rode the wave today, Paul. All four teams today that lost game one, they all won the first quarter. They didn't win the game, you know, but they all won the first quarter. So Brooklyn won the first quarter. Philadelphia won the first quarter. Utah won the first quarter. And Dallas won the first quarter. Utah and Dallas both subsequently won the basketball games, obviously. So there has been a little, you know, there used to be that bounce back and the zigzag theory in the playoffs. I don't think it exists on a neutral court right now. But it did in the first quarters of play. So let's start off here with the Miami Heat and the Pacers. The Heat are -4.5 in this game. It was pretty much close all game, and then Miami pulled away late. So it's not like Indiana can say, well, we spotted them a 10-point lead or we spotted them a 15-point lead. But do you know, what do you think about game two of this series? Can the Pacers play with the Heat? Like, nobody thought so coming in. I thought that the Pacers could. Maybe I was wrong. What's your take?
My take is when they lost Sabonis, Indiana, I think they really took a hit. And T.J. Warren has really stepped in. But, you know, Oladipo, only 9 minutes in the first game. I guess he went out and what did he have, 4 points? That's a big loss. Malcolm Brogdon has done well, did not have a particularly good first game. But without Victor O and Sabonis, I really don't think they have much of a chance. I mean, I got to give them credit because they hung around in that first game without Victor. But I just think with Jimmy Butler in the lineup, and he was questionable going in, he had a nice game, 28 points on 8 of 15, a plus 13. The Heat are going to be too much.
Paul Bovey kicking it with us. Now with covers, covers.com, Paul Bovey. Houston Rockets and Oklahoma City Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder were a great story during the season, Paul, and they were the best team against the spread in the National Basketball Association. I'm wondering, though, if the shutdown and the restart has affected them. They don't seem to be the same team. I got to believe they will, though, have a sense of urgency. They were very, very, you know, there wasn't any urgency with them. They were very lackadaisical. Houston came to play even without Westbrook, or is it a matchup situation? I don't think Houston are that good, but I understand they're dangerous. Maybe I'm underestimating the Houston Rockets. What's your take on this one, and what do you think about this series?
My take is that Houston has done something very interesting. They're playing three guys at the four who combined for 97 minutes in the first game. Green really stepped up. He had a nice game. Tucker, Covington. But they're playing without Clint Capella, so they're not using a center at this point. And I think it's confusing to OKC a little bit. And, you know, Chris Paul, I think, is going to have to step up here. And I think Steven Adams, I mean, this guy is a tower in the middle. And, you know, without Capella in there, he should be dominating more than he is. And Austin Rivers, you know, he had a poor game, but he has length. And he could defend Chris Paul. And he did well in the first game in the limited minutes. But I think OKC is going to bounce back here. I do. And I think the Rockets will eventually feel the loss of Westbrook, who during the regular season against OKC had 87 points, 24 rebounds, and 26 assists. And it's hard to take a guy out of the lineup that's that proficient and just say, okay, we're going to have a plug-and-play type situation here, because it's not going to work out that way. And I think OKC will bounce back here and play better. Will they win the series? I don't know, but they'll be competitive.
Paul, what do you make of the bubble? Like, what is there a couple of things that you've identified that you think that is different? I mean, there's the home. There's no home court right now, so there's no reprieve. That's something that stands out to me. There's no, well, you know what, we dropped the first two, but we're going to get a pop when we go home, and we'll tie it up, and then we'll come back, and we'll try to steal one. It's like the bubble zone is a reality zone, and you can't really escape reality. Number two, they're playing every 2 days now, which they normally don't in the NBA playoffs. So it's almost more of a war of attrition than it normally is, because you don't get those days off to heal and to exhale in between games. Number three, I'm noticing referees aren't calling. The stars aren't, like, it's much chippier in there. You know what I mean? Like, the star players, it's not automatic fouls. The refs aren't being influenced by the crowd. So we're going to a break in a couple of seconds. So think about, like, if there's a couple of things that you notice the difference that you like about this in the bubble right now. in which, you know, I think there's a difference. It was brought up during the Laker game, like when Portland took an early lead, then after the Lakers went on like a 13-1 run, it was brought up that if they were in Los Angeles with the fans, the crowd would be going crazy and Portland probably would have fallen apart. But there's no crowd and they were able to steal the momentum back after. I do really think this is a big equalizer. More Paul Bovey on the other side. Sports Radio Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down with Paul Bovey right now. Covers.com. Paul Bovey kicking it in the Philippines, but on the way back to Los Angeles, California. We're talking NBA basketball right now with Paul. So, Paul, I was talking about how the first quarters, the teams that lost, all bounced back and got it done in the first quarters. Let's get into the Milwaukee Bucks right now. So, you know, Milwaukee loses game one, not the end of the world. We can't forget that last year, actually, the Orlando Magic beat the Toronto Raptors in game one of their playoff series in the first round. And, of course, the Raptors went on to win the next four, and they also went on to win the NBA championship as well. But with that being stated, you know, remember last week it was, well, when they lost as 19.5-point favorites. Well, you know, the game didn't count. It didn't matter. And there were a couple of times in the bubble that Budenholzer, who I don't think should have won Coach of the Year, but there were a couple of times in the bubble in which he said, you know what, we've got to tighten things up, and, you know, tomorrow we're going to tighten things up. Like, you know, we're going to take it more, like, we got to get this going. They never have. Now they lose game one. I don't think they're legitimate. Like, can Orlando really beat them another three times? I'm not saying yes. But I think moving forward, the Bucks are very vulnerable, and they're not as dangerous as their record would indicate, in my opinion. Do you agree or disagree with my take?
Well, I would agree with you, and I think that first game was embarrassing for the most part for Lopez. I mean, this guy, 2-for-9, he comes up with 5 points, and on the other end, Vukovic comes up with the game of his life. In addition to the 35 points, he got 14 rebounds. That was the difference. And the difference was also on the free throw line. I mean, come on, 18 for 28, and then the yep. Magic go 18 for 19. And by the way, I'm gonna make a point. I'm going to just address what you said before. What's the difference in the bubble? Now, I haven't been watching these games, Gabe. I have to tell you, I catch bits and pieces. I woke up this morning, 4:30, big mistake to catch part of that Utah game, and then I can't get back to sleep, so I'm cycling for the day on 4 hours sleep. So a lot of these I can't catch until the late games. I did catch this Clipper game. But I think the bubble is actually going to benefit players that don't perform well under pressure. Think about it. You're playing in front of no yeah. fans. And when you play in front of fans, in front of 15, 19, 20,000 people, and you got to make a couple free throws at the end, a la LeBron James. It's a little bit more formidable of a task. So my feeling is that the bubble will definitely help players that are not as adept under pressure versus guys that are. So and just taking just going on with that point about Milwaukee, yeah, I think they're vulnerable. They play a very deep lineup, which I think will help them in in back to backs and those kinds of situations. But as far as their starting five, Bledsoe tends to be inconsistent. Lopez, as I mentioned, I don't know that you can count on the guy. I don't. And they better do something to shut that guy down in the middle for Orlando.
Yeah, Vucevic had a great game. So the Milwaukee Bucks, 10-7 against the spread coming off a loss. In theory, you would think, oh, yeah, Milwaukee would blow them out. But it's not a smart bet. Milwaukee have shown us nothing that makes me want to take this chance and take this leap of faith. And I know you didn't, you don't have the money to fly around the world, Paul, because you lay double-digit points. What's your take on the game?
I have to tell you, all right, I've done okay on the NBA playoffs, but I got sucked in on this one. And I'm kind of ashamed of myself, but I thought I was getting great value at taking the Bucks to be leading 3-0 after three games, figuring I could get out of a layup situation, which was going to be the Bucks going up 2-0. And I thought 2-1 was, this is going to be easy. You know, they'll find a way to get by. And I put the game on in the middle of the night, actually at halftime, and I saw 62-52. I go, we're up by 10. I go, wait a second, let me put my glasses on. No, we're down by 10. And it was I took one peek in the third quarter and I said, this is pretty much done. So I don't lay double digits in the NBA, and for good reasons. You know, I rather run with a first half wager, and I think that was a great bet with the Nets tonight in the first half. I actually pushed a team total on that at 53. But, Milwaukee, I don't think they are someone I'd want to lay 12.5 with against a team which I feel has a lot of confidence. And Fournier didn't even have a particularly good game. And I think they generally get a lot of productivity out of him. And DJ, 3-for-11, not really up to his abilities either. So, I definitely think the Magic can have a puncher's chance here.
All right, let's get into the Portland Trailblazers and the Los Angeles Lakers. Looks like the market is buying in right now to backing LeBron and the Lakers here. It's up to 6.5, Paul. The total is 229. Amazing that, and the total got steamed in the last game. What, it went up to 233, I believe, at tip-off. And, they got to 193, bro. They couldn't crack, 200. They got to 193 points. Portland are hot, man. Portland are really hot. They played 9 competitive real basketball games in the bubble. And, they're playing at a different pace, a different gear. We talked about teams losing game one and coming out and responding. So do you expect the Lakers to come out and respond? And is it a case of can they respond, or is it just a matchup situation where right now Portland are a better team than the Los Angeles Lakers? What do you make of this series and the direction it's going and the point spread at 6.5?
I think the Trailblazers have an advantage here that they did not enjoy against other teams. Whiteside was extremely productive in the regular season against the Lakers, 28-37 with 11 blocks and 39 rebounds in 3 games. So I went Nurkic under in the first game, figuring he was going to pick up some of Nurkic's minutes, and they ended up playing them both. And I got fortunate on that because he was 17.5 and came in at 16, and he had 13 very early. But they're really... This is a difficult situation for the Lakers with those two bigs in there because JaVale McGee is not much. He gives you 10, 12, 15 serviceable minutes at best. And then Dwight Howard, not much anymore, took 5 fouls in 15 minutes. So that middle of the court is jammed up for the Lakers. So if they don't hit their threes, and they went 5 of 32 in the first game, this is the situation. And they better get guys to step up. I mean, maybe Danny Green steps up. Anthony Davis, AD, 0 for 13 in his last 13 beyond the arc. And this guy's a 33% three-point shooter. So he's in a little bit of a funk out there. So the Lakers, if they don't get it done from the outside, they're going to have a lot of problems with this team.
Paul Bowlby kicking it with us. And that's exactly right, Paul. You know, LeBron's going to get his. He's going to put his numbers up. Even if LeBron and AD both combine for like 60 points, 65 points, even if, where do the rest of the points come from? And, you know, listen, they shot 15% from three in game one. You don't expect that type of porous number. But the fact of the matter is, they're ranked 22nd in the NBA from three-point land. You know, they only shoot 34% from three. Portland shoot like 37.8% or so, and they drilled 38% of their shots. Portland played to their percentages. The rebounding situation is interesting, and it's interesting you bring that up because I heard so many people talk about how, well, they don't like playing Nurkic and Whiteside together at the same time. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I don't know. It seems to be working, actually. It seems to be working. It's a matchup issue, like you said.
Either of those guys down.
I know. But, like, not a lot of teams have 2 7-footers in the paint like that.
Yeah, and Whiteside has 5 blocks in addition to the 11 blocks he had in the 3 games in the regular season. Now tack 5 onto that. So he gets, oh, my God. I got one of those pop-ups on ESPN. I'm sorry. So they give you he gave you 11 blocks during the regular season. Then he gives you another 5. There, you can't sit him down. You can't sit Nurkic down because he gives you actually rebounding as well. He can dish out assists and he can shoot. So and Carmelo has a bad game, but they were so solid on the defensive end, holding the Lakers to 37 points in the second half. You know, it didn't mean much. So I gave the Blazers, as much as they struggled in the latter part of the season, just sneaking by these teams, they're a difficult matchup for the Lakers.
You know, it seemed inconceivable to believe that even the Lakers or the Clippers would get eliminated in the first round of the playoffs, Paul, but there's a possibility they both do. Or do you think it's a mirage? I tell you, man. Dallas are playing with the Clippers, and they're not just playing, but they're setting the tempo. If Porzingis doesn't get kicked out of game one, they might have won that game, but they really responded, and it wasn't just like a lucky win. They punched the Clippers in the mouth, and they exposed the Clippers defensively. The Clippers can't stop them. We'll hit this on the other side, but it's amazing. You know, if both LA teams get knocked out, wow. Then is it the Houston Rockets? Like, what happens from here on out? Looks like Toronto and Boston are on a collision course right now. More Paul Bowlby on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
All right, great job in Master Control, Midtown Manhattan. Shout out to our boy Yang, getting it done, working the board. Paul Bowlby kicking it with us right now in the Philippines on the way back to California. Shout out to the Mightier 1090 crowd in SoCal kicking it with us right now. I am Renzi. So, Paul, before we get you out of here, you know, I knew that the Blazers were going to give the Lakers all that they could handle. I really did think it was a big advantage in game one for them. You know, the Lakers in the bubble, Paul, they played the first game against the Clippers and they seemed to be into it. They won late. The second game against the Raptors they were into it, but the Raptors destroyed them. And quite frankly, they're never really the same since. It's like the Raptors broke their will or something. And, you know, they mailed it in throughout the rest of the bubble. And then you got Portland that was really balling. So I'm not surprised, actually, of what happened. We saw the Lakers erase the deficit pretty quickly. So, you know, to me, this is a key game because now the Lakers have gotten, their legs under them a little bit right now. But even if the Lakers win the game, Paul, I don't think they smoke them. I think it's another game that comes down to the wire. And I think 6.5 might be a little bit of an overreaction here. What's your take on the point spread?
Again, there's so much going on here. But the key is 20 at 31 from the line, 5 at 32 from the on the arc. Lakers hit their three-point shots. They're going to win the game. And, you know, as far as the Clippers go, and you brought up that point before, the key to the Clippers is Patrick Beverley. He was out tonight, and I think, well, again, for you last night, but or tonight, whatever. Patrick Beverley being out, I think they lose quite a bit on the defensive end. You know, Patrick Beverley, in one of the games this year, he only played 15 minutes, scored a few points. Clipper game against the Mavericks, but was a plus 18 in the first game, limited minutes. I think he had some foul trouble, but he's like a plus 7 or 8. So he gives you that defensive presence that the Clippers just don't have, with the exception of Leonard. And I think the Mavericks are making him pay for this. I mean, the Mavericks are clearly the ball's moving around. Doncic had, 28 points in 28 minutes tonight? That wouldn't happen with Beverley in the lineup. So I think he had a calf issue. Hopefully for the Clippers, he's going to be back next game, or they are going to struggle with this team because they just moved the ball around a little bit better. And as far as three-point shooting, let's face it, the Mavericks are also a superior team when it comes to shooting behind the arc.
Very prolific. And for the record, the Clippers open up -5 game three, -5 total 233.5. The Boston Celtics are -5.5 against the Philadelphia 76ers team that's really on the ropes right now, Paul. This looks like it's a curtain call and a swan song for Brett Brown right now. You know, I don't think Sixer fans are going to riot unless they fire him. They're not going to tolerate the excuse that Ben Simmons isn't there. And I don't know if it would be any different if Ben Simmons was there. Something's just not right with this team. And you know, Paul, the Utah Jazz, they're going to be getting Mike Conley back. So Mike Conley's going to be back. And talk about Denver here. There was so much talk about Bogdanović and Mike Conley, including myself, bitching about Mike Conley leaving because of the birth of one of his kids and all that. But, you know, you talked about no Beverley in the lineup. What about no Gary Harris in the lineup for Denver and the intangibles that a guy like Gary Harris brings to the table? No Will Barton, no Gary Harris. They're a two-man operation right now. They play two-man basketball. Millsap has his moments, but they're sort of missing some character and some grit with Will Barton and Gary Harris. And I think Utah is on the verge of beating these guys. Like, Utah's balling right now. Quinn Snyder's a great coach.
I would agree with you on Harris and Barton. Barton, a huge loss. Harris, more the loss on the defensive side. And they were getting by because, look, Michael Porter has really stepped up. I think he had 28 points tonight, Adam, over 16.5, and he absolutely blew the number away. So I think he really has picked up the slack, and they got Jamal Murray back, but losing those two guys really, really hurt. But I think they're going to win the series. I think Denver will come back and eventually prevail and get this one.
Paul Bovey.
Oh, as far as Philly goes, let me make this point about Philly. Simmons does make a huge difference. The guy allows like 37% field goal conversion rate on mid-range jumpers. You take him out of the lineup, and that there's just a huge drop-off defensively. I'm not going to say the coach shouldn't go because they were not playing well in this continued part of the season, because Indiana comes out, torches them with T.J. Warren getting 50-some-odd points. That should never happen, and they could never get synergy with the lineup with Shake Milton. Things just never went well for the 76ers, and it looks like they're going to go down fast.
Paul Bovey kicking it with us. All right, Paul, before we get you out of here, just give people an updated odds right now as far as the NBA championship is concerned. And for the record, if the NBA Finals went seven games, game seven would be October the 12th. So just to put it in perspective when playing a future. And guys, here we are right now. And like Paul has said a couple of times, we've got people tuned in East Coast, West Coast, Asian, Germany. We've got people all over the world. So, depending on what day it is for you, if it's Wednesday, if it's Thursday. But nevertheless, we're essentially 3 weeks away from the start of the National Football League regular season as well. If everything, goes according to their plan. But the L.A. Clippers are now favored at plus 260. The Milwaukee Bucks are co-favorites at plus 260. The Lakers stock has dropped pretty quickly, actually, after one game. Plus 500 right now. Lakers to win the championship. The Toronto Raptors, plus 950. The Rockets are 10-1. Celtics are 13-1. Nuggets, 23. Mavericks, 27. Miami Heat, 27. Do any of these numbers interest you, Paul?
Well, look, I'm a value-oriented guy. So to take a plus 260 now, especially with the Clippers down a game, well, that doesn't make any sense. The only one that would make some sense, just because I'm attracted to value, is, believe it or not, the Lakers. Because you always have to be mindful of the fact that you want, in other words, have an exit strategy. So at 5-1, if they get through a few rounds or get to the finals, you can get out and probably take a few crumbs with you. But if you take a plus 260, it just doesn't make any sense.
And you know what? You're right about this. If you do believe in the Lakers, guys, listen, guys, the Lakers were the second favorite, coming into this. So they lose one game and they go from plus 320 to plus 500. It's sort of like live in-game betting, right, Paul? When you're betting a football game, you don't bet when your football team has when the team you want has the ball. You got to step up and have the balls when the other team has the ball, right? Same with baseball. When you're betting in-game, you're not betting, you're not getting a good number when your team, I'll wait till the other team gets out and I'll bet. No, you're going to lay more money. So right now, like you said, Lakers down, boom. The stock just went from plus 320 to plus 500. And I got to be honest, I'm anti-Laker even, and I think they can be exposed. But I think 500 is a pretty decent number on a Laker team right now to make it to the finals. You put yourself in a nice hedge situation.
I think you're right. Exactly. You get through a few rounds, and you're going to have an option. And, it really sucks when you take a future bet and you have no option other than to get out with a guaranteed loss. So you're stuck with riding out a series or a game that maybe you don't want to ride out because you think it's a coin flip. So you want to stay away from those situations, which is why I tend to shy away from futures, because the hold on futures tends to be very high. When you're offering in a 16-team field plus 250 on a championship, you're better off rolling it over and just parlaying it, especially knowing you're going to eventually run into a series where it might be even money or maybe plus money. You can't justify taking a 260.
Paul, we got a couple of minutes left. I didn't plan to, time just flew by. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight from the Philippines. So I want to ask you, football season's like 3 weeks away. It's kind of crept up on us with, the COVID, and there was so much debate about the college football situation. With the NFL is different. They're looking to move forward. I don't know the official number, but I heard today, Lou Gamblou told me today,
that there's only about 200 people that have entered the Super Contest so far. So you were just talking about futures. In this COVID world right now, you know, are you avoiding NFL futures coming into this year as far as win totals or divisions or anything like that? Because I know, listen, last year you've been known to step up large and put five dimes, if not more, down on some NFL win totals before. What's your take on NFL win totals and those contests this year in this COVID world?
Well, Gabe, I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't done much in the way of looking at these win totals. I have been looking at some teams that have made some nice improvements. Last year, as you know, I came on very early and proclaimed that the Buffalo Bills would be a solid team, and I went over a very skinny number at like 7, and they easily eclipsed that number. They should have a really nice team. They've added a few people. I think they added Vernon Butler, Mario Addison, Quentin Jefferson, and they, in the beginning four games and the last four games, I think they only have one playoff team. So I am looking at the Buffalo Bills, and I think New England will be weaker. I'm not a Cam Newton fan, and I don't know if he can get through the season. So I'm looking, and I'll probably pick at some numbers in the coming weeks, but I have to tell you I'm a little behind the eight ball on the NFL. But I have looked at the Buffalo Bills.
No apologies, so am I. And not really, because you know I'm up to date with the NFL, but like college football, I didn't even start, and I was right not to. Look, dude, even the SEC's not starting until September 26th, dude. Right? So, you know, I had my doubts. And more conferences are playing than I thought. The ACC, I believe, is September the 7th. I've got some work to do as far as the ACC. But every day, kids are opting out and stuff like that. So there's, you know, I was talking with Teddy Covers about this. There's no need to overdo it now, sort of crash course late, because the rosters are really, really evolving. And one thing I'll say, guys, I think it's going to be physically tough for the NFL to play 16 games in 17 weeks like they normally want to through this, all right? There's already talk. The NFL's talking about putting the playoffs in a bubble. So, and there's talk about dropping a few non-conference games, maybe play 12 games, maybe play 14 games. So my deal is I'm hesitant to bet win totals, but if you bet the division and stuff like that, that still counts. And I do agree. I am a Buffalo Bill fan, but I do agree. Listen, the Bills are the best team in this division right now. They will be this year. They're plus 125 to win the AFC East right now. We've been talking so much hockey and basketball, we haven't gotten into the grid, but on the grid, we will. And we got Paul back in rotation. Paul, find him on Twitter, at Paul Povey, covers.com. Paul, always a pleasure, sir.
Take care, Gabe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Quickest 120 minutes of sports coming to a close. Bagels and Bad Beats, for those of you kicking it on our radio affiliates, with Scott Wetzel. And, of course, shout out to my main man, Scotty Farrell, who we follow right here on the same radio stations that you're listening to us on right now. I want to get to something, man, but this show just flew by here this evening. Is Justin Gaethje. Of course, Justin Gaethje is going to be fighting Khabib. And Justin Gaethje, one of the toughest dudes, like, you know, in America, in the world. One of the toughest, you know, MMA fighters out there. But not just like, listen, every UFC fighter, every MMA fighter is a tough dude. Or and woman, too. Like, you know, you have the balls to get into the octagon. But Gaethje's on another level of insanity and toughness. And he just wants to kill you and knock your head off. Well, some dude in Lakewood, Colorado, stole Justin Gaethje's bicycle. Gaethje's garage door was open, but he rolled in and rolled off with a bicycle, a nice Rambo, real expensive, you know, one of those fat tire bikes. And Gaethje tweeted out a picture of the guy. He's off from his security footage. This guy just stole a bike from my garage in Denver, Lakewood, Colorado. If anybody knows a private investigator around the Denver area, I'd be happy to hire him. I'll tell you what, bro. You'll be lucky if it's a Magnum PI or some gumshoe hack that that finds you, as opposed to Justin Gaethje. Like, you know, listen, if Justin Gaethje can't like drive around the neighborhood and find you and like punch you in the face and put you in a hospital for 9 months and put you in a coma, because the guy does have a career and a life, but it's almost a shame that he didn't find you in his garage red-handed. Because, yeah, you know what, you'd be eating from a straw for the next 46 months. Great job in the pit in Midtown Manhattan. Great job by the Raging Redhead Cavs, Doherty and Cameron, a.k.a. Bob Bano, Paul Bovey. Great job, Paul Bovey, back in the rotation. Follow me on Twitter at Sports Rage. We'll be posting some picks in the morning. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.